660, second line, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Okay, the Pasuk says like this. Lo Yisikal El Cheresh, you're not allowed to, Lo Yisikal El Cheresh, you're not allowed to curse a deaf person. And our sages tell us it doesn't only mean a deaf person, but it means even a deaf person that doesn't even hear what you're cursing them, it's also biblically forbidden to curse them.
Dead or deaf?
Deaf. Oh, okay. Oh, 1 minute. Deaf. If somebody is dead, there is no sin to curse them. As far as this biblical law. Meaning as follows. The Torah says, this is from the Gemara learns. You can't curse anybody. Why does the sages say, not to curse even a deaf person, even a person who won't be embarrassed from it because they don't know what you're saying. But why does the Torah say a deaf person? So Rashi says from the Gemara that it teaches us that if you curse a dead person, then you're not obligated because it has to be a living person. That doesn't mean, by the way, that a person should go around cursing the dead. There's another issue of starting up with the dead, which is not a very good thing to start up with. Especially if they're holy people, is definitely not a good thing to start up with. But then the Torah says like this, V'lefnei iver li'sitin michshol. Before a blind person, you're not allowed to put a stumbling block. So simply it means, you can't take a block, you know, a person can't see where they're going, you're going to put something dangerous in front of them, they're going to get hurt. But as Chazal say, this is a, in addition to the literal meaning, allegorically, it means a person should not give bad advice. You're not allowed to give bad advice to a person that will fall for it, especially if you will benefit from the other person's mishap. Also, you're not allowed to cause somebody to sin. Okay? So the Lefnei Iver L'Sitin Michshol really has three meanings. Number one, literally, you can't put a stumbling block in front of somebody to get them hurt. In other words, you're not allowed to put anything in somebody's way that they're going to get hurt. Secondly, you're not allowed to give a person bad advice. Thirdly, you're not allowed to help a person sin. But the part the pasuk concludes, V'yareisim elekecha, you have to fear God, ani Hashem I am God. Why does the Torah say it by these mitzvahs? So Rashi says, from the Gemara, again, a very simple meaning. Somebody will think, or they'll be able to say, I didn't mean to give a bad advice. I thought it was good advice. The Torah says, God knows what you're doing. God knows what you thought. God knows. You can't, to somebody else, you can come along and say, I thought it was good. God says, you have to fear God. God knows if you're giving him bad advice and what your real, down deep intentions are. Now, to discuss a little bit this Aveda of Lefnei Iver L'Sitin Michshol, there's a lot of interesting halachic concepts over here. Number one, it's a negative commandment that you can't help somebody sin. It's a negative commandment. What does it mean? It means like this. If a Nazir, let's say this is a classic example the Gemara gives. If a Nazirite asks you for wine, you're not allowed to drink wine. You're not allowed to give him wine. Somebody who you want to give somebody a garment of shatness to wear, it's woolen linen that you're not allowed to wear. Somebody says, go buy it for me. You're not allowed to go buy it for him because you're assisting him in sinning. But the halacha is as follows. This din only applies if the nazir can't get it himself. For instance, the Gemara's example is, there are two sides of the river. You and wine are on one side of the river, and the Nazirite on the opposite side of the river. There's no bridge. Okay? The Nazir cannot get the wine himself. The Nazir screams across the river, throw over the bottle of wine. By you throwing over the bottle of wine, you're causing him to sin. And he cannot get it himself. So without you, he couldn't sin. So you're transgressing this Aveda of helping somebody sin. But what happens if I'm sitting with Nazir at this table, and there's a bottle of wine there, and the Nazir is sitting here, and the Nazir says, pass me the wine, you can pass him the wine, because he can get up and get it himself. You're not really helping him sin, because without you, he could sin anyway. The sin of Lifnei Iver is basically, if he cannot sin without you, then you're helping him sin, then it's completely forbidden. So it's the difference, it's, we speak on one side of the river, two sides of the river, or things like that. But then you have other laws that are also part of this general, some of them we discussed one time during Mincha Ma'ariv, but they're very interesting laws that the commentaries discuss, very practical halachic issues. You know, when you eat bread, you need to wash, and you need to bench. Right? You need to wash your hands for bread, you need to do Birchat HaMazon. Can a bakery sell bread to somebody that they know will not wash and bench? Are you allowed to sell bread in a bakery to somebody you know they're not going to wash and bench? Are you helping them sin? Or, if I'm a car dealer, I mean, you can go through millions of cases with this. If I sell cars, am I allowed to sell a guy a car if I know he's going to drive on Shabbos? Am I allowed to sell him a car? Am I assisting him in sinning or not? No. Or any things like this. Or, if somebody's a librarian in a library, the case we discussed during the week a while ago. A guy's a librarian, a woman, man, librarian in a Beverly Hills library. Yeah? There's a lot of trade for books there. Think about atheism and non-believing in God or other religions. A Jew comes in, you're the librarian, he says, do me a favor, I'm looking for a book on Christianity. Can you get me a book on Christianity? Is a librarian allowed to give him a book as a librarian? And then all these cases apply. You're helping an elderly couple. Some many people have jobs, right? They work in old people's houses to cook for them and help them and, you know, whatever it is. But they don't keep kosher. They're Jewish, but they don't keep kosher. Can you feed them non-kosher food? Are you desecrating this negative commandment of helping somebody sin by putting a stumbling block in front of a blind man? So this is discussed a lot in halacha. There's a lot of responses on it. Or can I rent an apartment if I own a building, apartment building? Can I rent an apartment to somebody who's not going to keep kosher, not going to keep Shabbos, and do who knows what in their apartment? Am I allowed to rent them an apartment? Am I helping them sin? Or they're living in sin or whatever it may be. So basically in all these rulings, halacha is you're allowed to. Because many people write that by selling and buying, it doesn't apply necessarily, because if they don't buy it from you, they'll go buy it somewhere else. You know what I mean? So you sell bread. You don't want to sell them bread, they'll go buy it somewhere else. And they won't wash and bench either. So they're not gaining anything by you giving it to them and not giving it to them. Similar to what we said, if it's on the same side of the river, if it's on the same side of the river, the Nazir can get it himself, so then the din of Lifnei Iver L'Isita Michshol doesn't apply. What? Misayel Idei Aveda is basically the mitzvah of Lifnei Iver. But there are many opinions right. It means helping somebody to sin. Helping some Misayel Idei Aveda only applies if the guy can't do it himself. If the guy can get it himself, there's tray for food at the end of this table, right? And somebody says, pass it. And I do, I'm not helping him sin. Come on, be realistic. The guy can get it himself. He's too lazy, so, you know. But it's not that he can. I'm not helping him sin. Without me, he could sin anyway. I'll just get up. If I wouldn't be here, he'd get it anyway.
If somebody is asking you to buy, help an old person and go buy trade food.
So I'm saying that's all these questions of Lifnei Iver L'Isita Michshol. It's not so simple. It's very problematic about feeding somebody trade for food. I mean, you can extend this to a million places. You run a daycare center. Okay? Kids bring their own food. Non-kosher food. Right? And let's say in a situation. Can the teacher or the aide help the kids? Can they serve the kids the food? So over there it's different than minors. It's much easier halachically. Okay? But there's a lot of issue. If you think about it, there's a lot of things we do that technically could help somebody come to do a sin. Most of, like we said, the bakeries and all that is basically the halachic ruling as you could. But there's another interesting it's in halacha it's called a chakira, a research question about the mitzvah of lefneiva lesitin mechshul. When the Torah says, don't help somebody sin, which is the meaning of this mitzvah, right? Don't help somebody sin. If I help somebody sin, am I transgressing a general rule? Or am I transgressing the sin that they're sinning? In other words, when the Torah says, you're not allowed to help somebody sin, right? If I do help them sin, am I getting just a general sin? Don't help people sin of a general nature. Or if I help them sin, let's say eating not kosher, I'm getting the sin of eating not kosher. Now, how does it work? And there could be a very big halachic difference. Because for idol worshipping, let's say, a person is obligated to give up their life, not to sin. If I help somebody worship an idol, I don't do it. But I'm helping them worship an idol. Do I have to give up my life or not? If it's a separate mitzvah completely, then I don't have to. But if it's a part of the mitzvah that I'm causing them to transgress, then technically I would have to give up my life not to have a person transgress. And it's a big argument in halacha. What is the concept of lefnei iver lesitin mechshul? There being a lot of proofs both ways from the Rishonim, Achreinim, in the commentaries of the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch about how those things work. But the bottom line is, the Torah says, Yereisim elekecha, that a person has to know, if you give somebody bad advice, don't come along and say, I didn't think so, you know, God will punish you. Yereisim elekecha, God knows. Another thing, the Ibn Ezra writes over here, that if you hurt a deaf person, God says, Yereisim elekecha, watch it. Because God said, I can make you deaf too. In other words, you start up with deaf people, God says, watch it, because I can make you deaf. You start off with blind people, I can make you blind. So it says, it doesn't only mean God knows what you're thinking. Also means, beware of God, because fear God, because God can make it happen to you. What?
Even if somebody could get something forbidden on their own, what about the concept of...
So what? That's not a... That's a fact. It's not a sin.
You're guilty somewhere, no?
Not necessarily. If the person could get it themselves, there's nothing wrong. You're not doing anything. If you don't do any accomplishment, if you're not accomplishing anything, the sin is not coming through you.
Maybe they would have had a heart attack and they would have got it before you handed it to them.
I mean, you could think about that in every way.
Well, you're helping them get it.
Huh?
You're helping them get it sooner.
What, the heart attack?
No, it's a thing.
You know, halachically, we don't...
They might have changed their mind and they might have said, oh, it's too far, I'm not going to get up. They might have said, I don't feel like getting up, there's too many people, I don't want to get up.
But still, you didn't do technically the sin because he could have gotten himself.
No, but they might have changed their mind if you didn't do
That's
it.
Not your responsibility, though.
Maybe he's the one man, he cannot...
It's like, that. Then, if he couldn't get it himself... Then you are helping him. You're right. Then in that case, you would be helping him.
If you're helping him, you go like, no, that's not kosher. Get it yourself.
Don't think that's not kosher. Get it yourself. You see, it's not kosher. Don't eat it.
Why? It's not kosher.
Right.
That's what you...
Yeah.
What?
Isn't there something that you're supposed to... I mean, that's...
That's coming up. Achech of samisacha. That's a separate mitzvah of admonishing somebody. Here we're talking about the transgression of this negative commandment... Only applies. By the way, if somebody really thinks, let's say, it started giving bad advice. If somebody really, like it says, fear from God. If somebody really thought they're giving good advice, okay, and it turns out to be bad advice, you didn't get to sin. Because you were honestly, and God knows that you're honestly trying to give him good advice. It happens, sometimes you give good advice and it turns out to be negative. What?
In all those examples, you give example of a public, like in a store or in a nursery, in a, if it's your own home, family or friends are there for Shabbos, and they don't want to go and wash.
Stone them.
On Shabbos?
Prepare the stones before Shabbos, like they do in Yerushalayim.
Yeah, they say they don't want to wash. So you give them the bread and whatever, just or you don't give them the bread? Or
the halacha, there's a lot of issues. Number one, there's a question in halacha, if this lav of helping somebody sin, if it applies to rabbinic mitzvahs or not. That's another issue. Okay? Most people say it applies even to rabbinic mitzvahs. But again, if you have relatives that are totally not religious, and they come to us for Shabbos, and they refuse to go wash, they refuse to go bench, you can still serve him food. Because again, you're not causing them, they can take the food anyway.
It's my house, I don't think they can take
it. But they still can get the food. It's not that you're... it's also discussed in halacha. But they're right, in those cases, it's also not lefnivus demichel. It's not causing them to sin. What?
What about in case of clothing?
What do you mean?
Going to the store and the Jewish salesman is selling a jacket with a shabbos. Is he obligated to inform you?
No. If a person is a salesperson in a clothing store, the obligation of checking for shabbos is on the buyer, not on the seller. You can sell garments of shabbos. You can't wear them. You're allowed to sell garments of shatnez. Right? The obligation of checking for the wool and the linen shatnez, you need to, is on the person himself. So that's not a problem.
But after all, you can't sell pig or stuff like that, because even though somebody can get it somewhere else.
You can? What if you work in the market?
If they can get it somewhere else, technically you're allowed, it's not the sin of Lifna Ivid. It's not.
Or forbidden books.
Or forbidden books, for whatever. A Jew is not allowed to do business with pig. With things which are really treif. Okay? You're not allowed to own a treif of meat market. Okay? But that's a separate issue. That's not the even. It's a separate thing of selling things, doing business with Dover or Osset, something which is biblically forbidden. Okay, then it says like this. Next pasuk. Leisasu avo b'mishpat. Do not commit a perversion of justice. Meaning, this refers to all people. The judge is not allowed to pervert judgment. To be a corrupt judge, you know, you get a bribe or whatever, you're not allowed to. Anybody does it, we'll see it's called abomination. It also refers to the litigants. In other words, that not to have a corrupt judgment refers to the judges. It also refers to the litigants, which means you're not allowed to lie in judgment to get a better judgment for yourself. So in addition to lying, which also you're doing, there's another sin of a corrupt, perverted judgment, which also is forbidden, because there's a special thing of you're responsible to make sure everything has to be right. Now, one thing, by the way, and this is another interesting thing, I want to go back a minute to Lifnei Ivel Hasdin HaMishpat. The Mefarshim point out another point, and that is, from this mitzvah we see the responsibility that Jew has to Jew. Somebody could say, what do you mean I can't help him sin? It's his business. He wants to sin, let him sin. What does it have to do with me? I care if he sins. And you should know this is a sad, very sad state by religious Jews. Many, many religious Jews couldn't care less if non-religious Jews sin. They couldn't care less if they eat treif. They couldn't care less if they don't keep Shabbos. They just don't care. You know, just listen, I'm religious, that's good. They want to sin, let them sin. They don't want to be religious, let them not be religious. The Torah here says, besides the fact that we're responsible one for another, you don't call yourself Revim Zalazeh, Zebazeh, we're responsible for one another, but from this mitzvah itself of not helping somebody sin, the Torah is teaching us the responsibility that we have to everybody else. We're responsible to make sure another Jew doesn't sin. And if by me helping them they come to sin, I'm liable for it. in the negative halacha, in the negative sin, because I'm helping a person sin. It's a very interesting thing. Jews are responsible for somebody, another Jew's spiritual and physical welfare, to make sure that they do what they have to do and they don't come to sin. Okay. Result of a b'mishpat leisisa pnei dol. Do not, what?
Somebody asks you to buy for them
non-kosher
food.
You're not allowed to.
They can get it themselves.
There's a separate issue. You shouldn't be buying non-kosher food in Marisayan. There's a lot of issues. Are you mamish over lef ne'iver? If they could buy it themselves, not necessarily. But there's other inyonim involved. There's Marisayan. You know, there's a lot of other prohibitions in it.
If this question comes that if an old lady asks you to take her shopping, and she's picking up the non-kosher food, are you allowed to pick it up for her because she cannot carry, because she cannot pick it up? And
you're talking about buying or helping her carry it?
Oh my gosh.
No, there's a big difference. What? You can't buy it for her.
She's going to pay,
You can't buy it for her. For a lot, not only lefne'iver, especially in that case where she's not able to buy it herself, then for sure you're sinning, because without you she wouldn't get it. But there's a difference if somebody is carrying, I'll give you an example. You meet an old lady in the street carrying your packages, mm-hmm. Yeah? Or an old man for that matter, by the way, mm-hmm. Carrying the packages. And you don't know what's in the packages. They just came from Ralph's, yeah? The chances are there's tray for food in those bags. And you see them schlepping their bags. Are you allowed to go help them? 100%. There's nothing to do with tray. There's nothing to do. You're not helping them with tray. You're helping them carry a package. What's the difference? There's nothing to do with the tray for food that's in it. You're doing somebody a favor. Or if somebody says, can you give me a ride to the supermarket? And you give them a ride to the supermarket. They might go buy tray for me. What's... One thing has nothing to do with the next. That's not forbidden in any way.
If you have non-Jewish workers and you want to buy them, take food.
That you can't either.
Because
there's a din in Shulchan Aruch. A Jew cannot give a goy tray for food. If you have something treif in your house, halacha says you can't give it to a goy as a present. Why? What does Allah say? Very interesting. Because the guy thinks that this food is kosher because he got it from a Jew. So he might give it to another Jew. So it says in Allah, you're not allowed to give a guy tray for food. If it's not chol of Yisrael, things like that, because there's a lot of leniencies anyway, so it's not so bad. But to give a guy something which is mamish, actually tray, you can't, because the guy gets it from you, thinks it's kosher, and he might give it to another Jew because of you.
So you're buying like for Xmas, you're buying some candy for the tenant that you're not.
If you all keep your doors open for trick and treat, whatever, yeah, mm-hmm. You have to give the kids kosher candies.
You can't buy McDonald's for your workers.
You can give them the money and let them buy it. You can't buy it.
Your employee, you take them to the restaurant.
It's to be kosher. No advertisements here, sir.
If you wanted to tell your housekeeper it's safe, it's not kosher, that's what I'm getting to you.
But they don't tell over everything anyway.
If you bought something by accident at Ralph's, it cost you only $3.
No.
You thought it had a hatch, you realized it didn't.
But it depends. If it's not really trafe, it doesn't matter. Say something which is really trafe. Okay, let's... A judge is not allowed to favor a poor person. Sometimes you get litigation, a poor person comes against a rich person. So the judge says, "Oh, Nabuch, the guy's so rich, this guy's so poor, let me make him win the case." Or the Torah says, "They said that Pnei Godel. You can't honor the great. Great can mean either wealthy or a greater person. The Torah says, "Bitzadek tishpit amisach." That has to be righteousness. If a guy's guilty, it doesn't matter who it is. If it doesn't, I'm going to close the tape.
If you have a stuff for the non-Jew, you should throw it out, not to give it to them.
If it's mamash not kosher, you should throw it out.
If it's pasta with no hechsher.
Okay. Again, real treif, it's a real, real treif.
There has to be real. Not candy or no those stuff. Not like the pork roll.
This is a chumash class, not halacha. Let's continue.
Wednesday night.
According tomorrow.
Like set up in a dog. Okay. The third is the setting to Yishpat HaMisecha. You have to be, in other words, another thing, there's a Rabbi Leibel Eiger, who's a Chassidish person. It's a great, great scholar many years ago. He said over here what the Torah means is like this. The Torah says, Leisasu Avol B'Mishpat, okay? You're not allowed to deceive the judges by lying. You're not allowed to, you know, you have to be good in judgment. He says it can also be read like this. Do not commit a perversion with justice. Meaning, do not do wrong and then claim justice is on your side. I'll give you an example of this. There's a pasuk in Chumash that says, Mamrim, in Chumash Devarim, it's like this. Mamrim hayisem im Hashem. Simply, what does the pasuk mean? You're rebellious against God. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jews, you are rebellious against God. Whoever speaks Hebrew knows, Im Hashem means with God. Now here they come. Wow. Neged, in Hebrew, it should say, Mamrim hayisem, neged Hashem. Right? You're rebellious against God. Yeah, the Torah says, Mamrim hayisem im Hashem, with God. So I heard this word from my father, but he said there's an explanation. It says like this. Mamrim hayisem. Many times people are rebellious. But im Hashem with God. In other words, they put God on their side to make the rebellion. In other words, they justify what they're doing with God. That's what he says. Leisasu avel. He says over here, don't be corrupt by mishpat and bring in the justice on your side. In other words, many people do terrible things with religion. They use religion to justify the evil that they do. They use religion to justify the evil that they do. To give you a simple example, there's a rule that rabbis know and therapists who are religious know that when couples fight over religion, mamish fight over religion, it has absolutely nothing to do with religion. Mm-hmm. Oh. Nothing to do with religion.
100%. 100%.
Thank you.
And it's rare, but
it has nothing to do with religion. Why? Why? Because the whole religion is to make peace. The whole Torah was given to make peace. The Torah was given lasis shalom ba'ilim to make peace. God says by the sota, by the woman that was accused, like we learned, no we didn't. We learned about a woman who was accused of committing adultery, so you bring her to the Kohen, and you write God's name on a parchment, and you erase it in the water, and she drinks the water, she's guilty, you know, she's blessed. God says, the whole Torah is there to make peace. Religion has nothing to do with fighting. Let me finish. It is, they fight. But how can I justify my fight? How can I make my fighting holy? I stick religion into it. I take religion to be able to justify and rationalize and sanctify my evil. And many people do it. I mentioned many times, there's a maimon from the Tzemach Tzedek. It's phenomenal. Very, very sharp expression. Very sharp expression. There's a maimon from the Tzemach Tzedek in Derech Mitzvah Secha that he mamish talks about the scenario of the rock throwing in Israel, even though in his times it didn't exist. It was pre-Israel. He said there are people that can't tolerate when another Jew sins and they throw things at them and they beat them. And he says they all cloak it in holiness, you know, Shabbos. Eh? He says you should know. This is what Tzemach Tzedek writes. You should know that those people. He calls it like in Hebrew, heim ra be'etzem, they're rotten to the core, and they cloak their evil nature in a garment of holiness. This is what the Samach Sadi writes in the Maimon. They're rotten to the core. This is what he writes. They're rotten to the core, but they justify and they cover, they cloak their rottenness, excuse the wrong English, their rottenness with a cloak of Kedusha. So the Labele Eger says over here the same thing over here. Leisasu Oval, don't do corruption by mishpat, using justice on your side. That's a very bad sin, so to speak. And, because you know what the problem is? Not only are you rotten, you're schlepping God into your rotten, into your evil. What do you want from God? Let God live. We drag God into the evil by fighting over religion or dealing with hating other people because of religion. It's a very interesting concept that he says.
But when you see somebody is doing something wrong religiously,
take a knife and shoot him.
No, you don't take a knife and you say,
can't shoot him with a knife.
And you say, this is not what you're doing, is not right.
We're going to come into that in next pasuk, two psukim. We're going to get there today, relax. Tezayin. Listen to this. This is good for the telephones. You cannot be a gossiper monger. In simple English, you can't be a yenta. You can't be a gossiper. The Rambam explains in Sefer HaMitzvos, interestingly, what is rechilus? In Hebrew, rechil is a peddler. What does a peddler do? That is what the Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvos. What does a peddler do? He loads goods in one place. He goes to the wholesaler, buys goods, and then he goes to the city and sells them. So he loads goods in one place and unloads them in a different place. That's what the Torah is calling a gossiper. A gossiper is you hear the yentis in one place and you unload it. You hear it on one end of the telephone and you unload it on the other end of the telephone. And the Rambam writes, by the way, and Shulchan Aruch brings this down, that the concept of rechilus is not Lashon Hara, it's not Maitzi Shemra. The Rambam Shulchan Aruch really quotes from the Rambam. Rechilus is stam, yenting, even if it's true and it's not even bad. Stam, gossip, even if it's not bad. No, Lashon Hara is like this. There's three things which are forbidden, clearly in the Psukim. There's rechilus, they say lech rechil ba'mecha. There's Lashon Hara, and there's what's called Meitzi Shemra. Rechilus is just talking about people for no reason, and there's nothing, it's not good, it's not bad, it's just stam, yenta. Okay? Lashon Hara is when you speak bad about a person, but it's true. Meitzi Shemra is when you speak bad about a person and it's a lie. You see, in other words, rechilus is all three are forbidden biblically. Rechilus is you just talk. Hakachainik, you talk about anybody. That's a peddler. You say, you know. Lashon Hara is when you speak truth, but it's bad. Meitzi Shemra is when you speak false and you're lying, it's not true, and you speak bad. All three are forbidden. Here the Torah only speaks about leiselach rochel ba'mecha. You cannot become a gossiper. In other words, something or tell something about people behind the back, and you know, even if it's true, even if you're not intending of causing bad feelings, you just tell people what everybody else is doing. That's it, man. Not only for this reason, for a lot of reasons. People sound smarter when they're silent. But now, this is now a very interesting the next part of this particular Samir al Dam Reyacha. You're not allowed to stand aside while your fellow's blood is shed. Ani Hashem, I am God. This is a very interesting mitzvah. To explain it like this, in secular law, there is no, I heard this from a Harvard professor, in secular, who's very from, and very knowledgeable, he's a big rov. He said, in civil law, in legal law, in civil law, there is no legal obligation to help somebody who's hurt. In other words, if you walk by and somebody's in the street laying there and they need help, somebody is drowning, somebody, whatever it may be, you might have a moral obligation, but there is no legal obligation in secular law, in civil law, that you have to help them. It's very interesting. Torah says, "Leisamid al damri echol." You are not. It's biblically. You're not allowed to stand aside while your fellow's blood is being shed. Meaning, if somebody is being chased by a dog, somebody is being chased by another person who's a dog, somebody is whatever it may be, you have a biblical obligation if you're able to. In other words, if somebody, God forbid, is drowning and you know how to swim, you have a biblical obligation to go help. And if you don't, it's a negative commandment. It's a negative commandment. You have a biblical mitzvah to go into them safe. If you don't know how to swim, then you're going to get hurt, so obviously you don't have an obligation to do it. But if you're able to help somebody, you have a biblical obligation to do it. It's a very legal obligation to do it. What?
So how would that, I'm sure you spoke with the professor, but how would that counteract with the law of the land that, you, that in many cases here, helping somebody is possibly getting sued, things like that. In other words, since the law of the land is not that way, would the biblical obligation override it?
One is a monetary, this is a separate question. This is a separate question. Do you have an obligation to help somebody else if you're going to get hurt by it?
But that's the possibility here.
There is a possibility. What goes on in America today, somebody needs help, you help them out, then they sue you.
Right.
You save their life and then they sue you. Because something went slightly wrong. And by the way, and then they win.
Yes.
It's not only that they sue you. The uniqueness of America is they win the lawsuit. That's what's crazy about the system. If it's going to hurt you, you know,
you don't have to.
Right, then you don't have to.
Yeah, if you know you're going to drown by sitting, this person's drowning.
Then halachically you don't have an obligation.
I mean, you don't really know. That's the whole point here. You don't know.
If you don't know, then the person halachically should try to do it.
CPR.
Our
first aid, and you ask them, do you want help? You have to ask them, do you want help? If they're unconscious and you help them, you can't be held accountable if you did what proper protocol. So it's good to get training, and then you have, there's, it's spelled out how you can help and when you can.
Good Samaritan.
Huh?
It's called
the Good Samaritan law.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what's called, Good Samaritan. Yeah, you have to help. Well, see, in Torah law, there is no such thing, because, I'll tell you a little secret, don't tell anybody, there's no concept of suing in Torah law. There is no such thing.
That's good.
Of course, there's no concept of suing in Torah law. You either have punitive damages, you know, damages that you hurt somebody, whatever it is, but there's no concept of suing somebody for something. If somebody didn't do a good job, you can't sue them. You can make them pay maybe for the loss of money that you incurred, but you can't sue them for $100 million or whatever. You know. Okay. But this is a very interesting mitzvah. By the way, this it works in a very broad way. Anytime you can help somebody that needs help, you have an obligation to help them.
Well, the other thing is, Rabbi, as far as speaking, I think you spoke once that something public doesn't fall into those categories. Correct?
It says if three people know about it, it's not Lashon Hara. But if your intent is to publicize it more than it is. There's a Torah assumption, once three people know about it, the whole world does. The Gemara has an expression, chavacha, chavacha, islay, v'chavacha, chavacha, islay. A friend has a friend, a friend has a friend. You know, it's called telephone, you know, everybody has.
The
Gemara says by Lashon Hara. But Shulchan Aruch says, if your intent, though, is for more people to know about it, then it's Lashon Hara. In other words, in practical example, according to many opinions, something which is written up in the newspaper, right, about a scandal about somebody that's written up in the newspaper, many possible question if it's considered Lashon Hara, because once it's in print, everybody knows about it. But if your intent is for more people to know about it, that otherwise would not know about it, then it is Lashon Hara, it says.
Talking about it.
What?
Even if it's the news.
Again, if they wouldn't necessarily hear about it, and you're telling them now that they should know about it, otherwise they wouldn't, then it is Lashon Hara.
But still talking about it is Rechilus.
Rechilus it is. The question is Lashon Hara also.
They ever both by Lashon Hara, Rechilus and Lashon Hara?
You could have Rechilus and Lashon Hara.
The same.
Lashon Hara, tell me, was he say the Mishnah, the Chavetz Chaim, 16 Avedis. Whatever.
31.
Huh? 31, 60, I don't know, whatever it is. It's all inclusive. All the Lavim are included.
Did you say once,
if
somebody tells you something, it's
Begedet
Bal Yema?
In Shulchan Aruch it says, if somebody tells you something, you're not allowed to repeat it, unless if they tell you, repeat it. That's it in Shulchan Aruch. Al-Tereb brings it down in Hilchos Maaseh Matan. Al-Tereb brings down, if somebody tells you something, you're not allowed to repeat it, unless if they give you permission to repeat it.
A person has cancer and says, I don't want my father knows about it.
Who has cancer?
A lady.
No. The father has the cancer?
No, I have a friend that she has a cancer.
She has cancer.
And she's a kind of relative of my sister. And she said, I don't want my father knows about it.
So you don't tell her father?
And God forbid.
There's another question, the reverse.
Something
if an older person has cancer,
what?
God forbid somebody has cancer, and the doctors tell the kids, should the patient be told? That's a medical issue. That's a medical ethical issue. Okay, next pasuk is also.
What about just like someone's getting married, someone had a baby, someone passed away?
If you're doing it to spread good news, then you say, if you're telling that people should be able to go pay a shiva call, go to the funeral, that's a mitzvah. To talk about people. No, just talk about people that there's no purpose in it.
Exactly.
Then that's called rechilas. Even if it's not bad, even if it's good. If you're telling somebody something that they should be aware, even in halacha, if you know a guy doesn't pay back debts, when he borrows money, he just doesn't pay back. Okay? And somebody calls you up, this guy asked me for a loan, should I give it to him? You have to tell him. It's lashon hara, but you don't want somebody else to get hurt. Right? But stop, you want to talk about people that this guy did this and this guy did that. That's rechilas. It's stop gossip. Gossip is not always bad. Huh? Okay, next is also a very, very important pasuk. You're not allowed to hate your brother in his heart. Okay? So halacha says, but if you tell him why you hate him, then you don't transgress this. This is only in the heart, without telling him. You should admonish your friend, and do not carry bear a sin because of him. Okay? So here is there's three parts of this pasuk, which are remarkable. The Torah starts off by saying, you're not allowed to hate him in your heart. That means, for real. You know, not what you say, one thing, like you said, in America, they hug you and stab you in the back at the same time. Okay? We're talking about the Torah says, you're not allowed to hate your friend in your heart, means you're not allowed to hate him. Then the Torah says, then you have a mitzvah to admonish. So the Chazal learned a very interesting, profound mitzvah over here. Chacham say, the only way you have a right to admonish somebody else, if you really love the person. And the pasuk says, after this whole thing, Ani Hashem, God knows what the story is. And another thing it says, why does the pasuk say Hecher Techich twice? Hecher Techich repeats itself. Admonish, you should admonish. So the Gemara learns out from here, not only from here, anytime the Torah uses a double expression, it means even 100 times. That means somebody might think, okay, you did something wrong, I admonished you, I'm free. The Torah says, no. You have to keep doing it even 100 times. And Halacha says, when do you stop? When the guy hits you. Then you can stop admonishing. But you like that. But the Torah says, the prerequisite for admonishing somebody else is two things. Number one, lisisnas achicha b'levavacha. You have to really love him. That means you're really interested, because there are a lot of people that just enjoy telling people off. Especially in one of the enjoyment of life. You know, they like telling everybody everything wrong they're doing. The Torah says, number one, lisisnas achicha b'levavacha. You have to love the person. Not to hate him at all. And then the Mefarshim say like this, hecheyach techeyach, besides meaning 100 times, the Torah says like this, hecheyach, first admonish yourself, then techeyach hasamisach, then you can admonish your friend. You want to be able to admonish somebody else, hecheyach, the Pasuk says, first admonish yourself, first get yourself good, then you have a right to admonish somebody else. People by nature, it's very interesting, people by nature, why do people like to admonish somebody else? Because it justifies themselves. You see, I'm a good person, I'm telling somebody else that they're no good. But usually, those people that love admonishing other people are no good people. That's why they love to admonish everybody else but themselves. So there is a thing. Number one, you can't hate anybody. Secondly, like he says, first, reprove yourself. Then, you have a right to do it. Then, some of Hashem in the Musa world say another interesting thing. It says, you have to do it 100 times. Simply means you have to do it over and over 100 times. But some of Hashem say, listen, if you need to admonish somebody, break it up into 100 parts. Don't admonish him at one time. He'll get embarrassed, he'll get upset. I feel a may apartment, they learn like this. If you need to admonish somebody, do it little by little. A little bit, should be comfortable with it, then a little bit more, a little bit more. Even even 100 times, divide it into 100 parts, and then you have a right to admonish the person. But there is a very interesting halacha, because there's a contradiction to this pasuk, so to speak. There's another Gemara that says that Kshem Mitzvah Lemet Dvar Manishmoim, Kach Mitzvah Shalei Lemet Davar Sheinu Nishma. Just like there's a mitzvah to admonish somebody when they listen to you, there's a mitzvah not to admonish them if you know they're not going to listen to you. You know what it says in Shechon Aruch like this? And Shechon Aruch asks a contradiction between really two Gemaras. One Gemara says, even if you know they're not going to listen, you have a mitzvah to admonish. You have a mitzvah to admonish. The Torah says, you have a mitzvah to admonish if you see somebody doing something wrong. Another Gemara says, if you know they're not going to listen, don't tell them. Why? The Gemara says, mutav shiyu sheigigin v'ayu mezidim. If you don't admonish them, they're sinning accidentally. Now that you're telling them it's wrong, and they're not going to listen, now they're sinning intentionally, because now they know it's wrong.
But if you love somebody and you're living in your house and you're doing something wrong and you don't go tell him you're doing something wrong?
We're not talking about parents and kids.
A husband
too. Husbands never do anything wrong.
Present husbands.
Husbands never do anything wrong. No. Never.
If you love them, you can.
Always discriminate. Yeah. Can I ask you a question? How many years are you attending these classes? You just found that out now?
20 years.
Just found out now that I discriminate. Me and the president. Listen, president also discriminates. The din is like this. So the Gemara says, and even in the Alter Rebbe Shechunach, they're contradictory halachas. Sometimes Alter Rebbe says one way, sometimes says a different way. The fundamental thing is like this. The basic answer, according to many opinions, is like this. If it's a biblical sin, which is explicitly said in Chumash, let's say somebody's eating pig, Mamash explicitly mentioned in Chumash, don't eat chazer, you have a biblical mitzvah to admonish them, even if you know they're not going to listen. But if it's not issa mefudish potato, if it's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah, it's derived, even if it's biblical, but it's derived, you know, with different ways, then the din is, if you know the person's not going to listen to you, you don't tell them. Because Like this, they're sinning accidentally, and now they're going to be sinning intentionally. But it has to be the way the achiyach techiyach hasamitzecho. It says in Shulchan Aruch is like this: you have to admonish them between you and them privately. If the mamish do it, nobody around, and you have to tell them that you're really doing it for their benefit. But again, not telling them, meaning to really mean it, that you're really doing it for their benefit, and so on and so forth. Human nature is so interesting. How I don't use the word corrupt, but how
psychological.
Yeah, how warped they are. A lot of times, you know, people. Okay, to use a clear example, when a parent has a kid that does something wrong, okay, because they love the kid, and the kid is doing something wrong, they're trying to teach him to do it the right way, and they're really hoping that the kid will change for good. In today's world, people like to admonish other people, and down deep they don't even want him to change, because then they won't be able to admonish them anymore. Down deep in human nature, listen to what I'm saying, this is down deep in human nature, many times they don't even want the person to change, because if they change, you're not going to be able to admonish them anymore. And that's part of the enjoyment of life, to admonish somebody else. I mentioned Shabbos, the story, by the Fabrein, I mentioned, there's a story of the Rebbe Rashab and his older brother. The older brother of the Rebbe Rashab was shorter than the younger brother. The older brother is shorter than the younger brother. And it bothered the older brother that he was shorter. Okay? So he took, made a hole in the ground, and put his younger brother in the ground, lower down, and then he stood on top of the ground, he was the same height. So the Rebbe Rashab saw about it, he called him in, and he said to them, you don't make yourself greater by putting down somebody else.
Oh.
In life, is it? You don't make yourself greater by putting down somebody else. Many times, human nature is to put other people down. This is human nature, whether we like it or not. This is what human nature is. People like putting other people down. Why? What do I gain by putting somebody else down? It makes me bigger. So then I said, you want to become greater? You don't do it by putting somebody else down. You put it by making yourself bigger. Making yourself greater, that's the way you become greater than somebody else. That's all part of this mitzvah. It has to be done in a way that you're really admonishing them for their good, and then you will have to, and it says don't carry a sin. Rashi says if you do it the wrong way, like you embarrass them, then you're going to get a sin. So the Torah warns you that when you admonish somebody, make sure you're not going to get a sin by it. Like embarrassing them, insulting them, and so on and so forth. Okay, that's this pasuk. Then the next pasuk. What? We're stopping in 3 minutes. Okay? Because we started 22. We'll just start the next question because there's a lot of discussion about revenge. Leisikam v'leisitor as b'nei amecha. You're not allowed to take revenge, or you're not allowed to bear a grudge against somebody. You have to reyacha kamecha, you have to love them. Okay? This is the golden rule. Love thy neighbor as yourself, that Rabbi Kiva says, which itself would demand about who knows how many hours to discuss. But the Torah says like this, you're not allowed to take revenge, and you're not allowed to do netira. Very simply, we'll go into it more next week in Mitzvah, but very briefly, revenge, the Gemara says, what's the difference between revenge and bearing the grudge? And it's not a good interpretation, bearing the grudge. Revenge means like this. I come to you and say, lend me your axe. That's the class in the Gemara, okay? Lend me your axe. You say no. Tomorrow you come to me and say, lend me your axe. I said, no, you didn't lend me yours. Why should I lend you mine? That's revenge. You didn't give me candy. Why should I give you candy? Okay? Netira is very interesting. I come to you and say, give me your axe. You say, no. The next day you come to me and say, lend me your ex. I say, yes, I'm going to give it to you because I'm not like you. You yesterday didn't give it to me. I'm not like you and I am going to give it to you. That's a negative commandment also called netira. You're not taking revenge because he gave it to them. But you're holding a grudge. So either way, huh?
What if you say it nicely to
the what?
So they'll learn from what they did.
You learn by action. You learn by being an example. You give it to them, they got the message. They didn't give and you're giving.
But there must be a limit, right?
Limit of what?
Like, you come 10 times for somebody.
Okay, we're going to stop here, but next week, remind me. There's a difference between being a nice person or being taken advantage of. It's a fine line, but there's a big difference. To be continued.